Welcome to Extreme Faith with Dr. Gerard Curry, Senior Pastor of Tradition Worship Center in beautiful Port St. Lucie, Florida.
This is my Bible as I look into the perfect law of liberty, the mirror of God's Word. I see myself as God sees me. I am who He said I am. I have what He said I have. I can do what He said I can do. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, living seed of my living God. My heart is receptive. My mind is alert. And I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise God, you may be seated.
Hello, this is Dr. Gerard Curry. Thank you for joining us today. We're picking up where we left off yesterday, and we started to look at the meaning of Pentecost, because Pentecost is the age of the church. It's when the church actually began, when the Holy Spirit came into the upper room and filled all of those disciples that were in one accord, waiting on the Holy Spirit that was promised by the Father, as Jesus had said. He said to them, "Wait for me in Jerusalem, just stay there until you are endued with power or the promise from my Father." So they waited for him, and on that day of Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus had resurrected from the dead, the moment came when the Holy Spirit came and filled each and every one of them in that room with cloven tongues of fire. They began to prophesy and pray in other tongues, and the church era began then. So let's pick up right now and see what we're going to see God's got for us.
These disciples of Christ then began preaching the gospel in known languages through, though unknown to themselves, they started speaking other people's languages. And I'm telling you, God had to do a miracle, sign, and wonder, because He had to get the attention of the people and begin the church. This is when the church age began. This is when the church was formed. This is when they became full of the Holy Spirit. When you become born again today, you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. You receive the Holy Spirit. You are now part of the body of Christ. You are the church. Amen. And so these guys, now these disciples of Christ, began preaching the gospel in known languages, though unknown to themselves, so that the people from foreign countries heard God's message in their own native tongue. And you can see that in Acts 2, 4 through 12. But what did all this of this mean? What does Pentecost mean? Here are some straightforward scriptural answers. Number one, you've got it written down there. Pentecost means that the Christian faith and the Christian gospel have to do with certain great facts of history and great acts of God. Now, let me just tell you something right here. Most Bible translations call it the Acts of the Apostles. It is what the apostles did, but the Holy Spirit working through them. Always remember that. It's not really the Acts of the Apostles. You could say it's the faith of the apostles. I'd rather they entitled it the faith of the apostles, because they went about actually stretching their hand out, actually doing things that the Holy Spirit would work through them and accomplish. But it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles that were in faith. And we are also in a position to, by faith, release the power of the Holy Spirit through us and see the acts of the Holy Ghost through me and my faith in Him. Remember, their faith and your faith and my faith can't be in its faith or in ourselves. It's got to be in the one who is faith. Amen. And so that's what happened. So now, it is in this respect that Christianity differs from any and is superior to every other religious system. The Christian gospel is not just a lovely story, although it is that. I love the stories and all the analogies and everything in the Bible. It's just absolutely amazing in the gospels. It is a story of something very wonderful that God has done in history. He has sent His own Son into this world, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. This is the story that He came to set the captive free and bring the power of the Holy Ghost in to the planet. Remember, Jesus said, it's more expedient for you that I go away. For as I go not away, the Comforter, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, will not come. But when I go, I will send him. So when Jesus came, the Holy Spirit wasn't in the earth besides in Jesus. Then when Jesus left, the Holy Spirit came, and anyone who received Jesus from that point on received the Holy Spirit. Amen. We all got that right. So John 3:16, God sent his own Son into the world. 1 Timothy 1:15, look what it says here. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, the book of that we're reading from, who wrote this book? I want to hear the... Well, God is the author, but he had someone write it. We're talking about the book of Acts. Is that correct? Who wrote the book of Acts? Luke. Dr. Luke wrote the book of Acts. Amen. Paul wrote a lot of the other ones, but Dr. Luke is the author of the book of Acts. And what he says in the beginning, he says what Christ had begun to do. In other words, the book of Acts is a continuation of our lives today. Because he starts it off by saying, this is the book of what Jesus began. He finished it on the cross, but he's left us with the power and the authority to do the rest, to win souls, for God so loves the world. Amen. So 1 Timothy 1:15 is Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So now you need to just write down that scripture. And at just the right time Jesus came, the right time he came. Now I know a lot of people say, why did he wait so long? Why didn't he come before? The Israelites were really complaining, and where's the Messiah, and was the Messiah not yet? But the Messiah came at the perfect and the right time. So he came at the right time. He came at the right time. He could have come 1,000 years before, but it wasn't the right time. When Jesus does something, he does it perfectly. It's perfect. So when he came, he was meant to come. You got to always remember this. Jesus is outside of time. He's not limited by time and space. So when he's over here in the beginning of time, he's also over here at the end of time. And he's also in the middle of time. That's why faith is now. Now faith is. Right? So wherever God is, faith is. And faith is now. Now faith. Don't put it off to future faith. I'm going to be healed. We spoke about that a bit on Sunday. I'm going to get the money. Even the saying that the money's cometh to me, or the money's coming, is a future faith, which is not a now faith. I'm going to be healed. Well, does he not say when you pray, believe you got it? So what have I got if I prayed for healing? I got healing. Come on. Now faith. Amen. Now there is a time sowing and reaping. If you faint not, you shall receive in due season. And also we inherit the promises through faith and patience. But the Bible talks about where Jesus cursed the fig tree. And I just want to touch on this. When he cursed the fig tree, they never saw anything for 24 hours. But 24 hours later, when they walked past it, Peter said, look, Lord, the tree that you cursed has died and withered from the root. In other words, the unseen part died instantly. Amen. The unseen part with your eyes is a spiritual realm. If God said, when you pray, believe you got it, you got it. When you pray in faith, immediately in the spiritual realm, bang, you've got it. It's accomplished. It's done. Now, with your expectation and your belief, my due season arrives the second I believe. Amen. So if there's a waiting period and I don't quit and I continually believe and expect, it'll manifest. Amen. But your due season is now. Faith is now. Say, faith is now. Amen. So Jesus came at the perfect time, and he rose and ascended and went back to the right hand of God. Galatians 4, verse 4, look what he says here. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son. The fullness of the time had come, the perfect right time. Born of a woman, born under the law, verse 5, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Isn't that powerful? The adoption as sons. Now, when he says sons, he's talking about mankind, sons and daughters, all of us. Amen. We might receive the adoption as sons. Verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Because you are sons and received him and the blood made you righteous, you now have the Spirit sent forth. He sends his Spirit into the Son's heart, the sons of God's hearts, and we cry out, Abba, Father. In other words, he becomes your close Father, your Father. Amen. That's by the power of God coming at the perfect time, sending his Son into the hearts of his sons. Remember, Jesus Christ was the firstborn of many. Amen. So this is a powerful time that he came, and he came at the perfect time that he was needed. Amen. The one other wonderful thing that God has done in history is this. He has sent the Holy Spirit to live within and to empower his own people, and the second chapter of Acts will record this. So look at point number 2. Pentecost means that God is working for the redemption of men and women according to a carefully preordained plan or program. That's why God could say before the foundation of the earth, I knew you. He had preordained, pre-planned to see this come to pass in our lifetime and in our lives. Amen. So this is a very, very powerful thing. There's something haphazard about God. Pentecost teaches us from Acts 2, verse 1, we learn that it was a predetermined event in the mind of God. The Holy Spirit was not poured out as a result of the prayer meeting held by the disciples. In Leviticus 23, 15 and 16, we read the feast of Pentecost, which was to take place 50 days after the Passover feast. Now watch this. Leviticus 23, verse 15, Living Bible. The harvest festival, the festival of Pentecost. 50 days later, you shall bring to the Lord an offering of a sample of the new grain of your later crops. So Pentecost was preordained, pre-planned on that exact day, that exact time. You see, you had Passover when the lamb, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The Lamb of God was sacrificed together with all the other thousands of lambs that they were sacrificing for the day of Pentecost. Every year they go through that ritual. We don't have to go through it anymore. And we know that they're building the second or the third temple right now. They want to start. There's a lot of talk from politicians saying they're going to start the third temple. And when they start and get the third temple completed, they will start the sacrificial offerings again. And they will start bringing spotless, sinless rams and lambs. But that is not necessary any longer. For those of us that are born again or Messianic Jews who have received Jesus as a Lord and Savior, he is now our high priest once for all, done it once, done it for all, and he sat down at the Father's right hand. He does not have to go through what he went through ever again.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Extreme Faith. To hear this message in its entirety, log on to traditionworshipcenter.com or join us for our live services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. with youth and children's services available, located at 10799 Southwest Civic Lane, Port St. Lucie, in our beautiful Tradition Square Town Hall facility.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve Camp of the Cross Church here in Palm City, Florida. We'd like to invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10 a.m.